Republican Party.
The battle against terror.
I'm Mitt Romney.
On red.
What? What the up?
Not far away.
Who asked you?
Get ready for the All-American Nightmare. This is the T.J. Thompson Show.
I like the good girls, bad and bad girls, but nice guys are last, the sun I'm always best. I'm a freak show sucker for how it.
Have you read the bill? Hell no, you haven't.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier, just so long as I'm the dictator.
I make the good girls bad and bad girls worse. Nice guys are last, cause I'm always first. I'm a freak show sucker for how it feels to the girl next door.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, I am the All-American Nightmare, the one, the only T.J. Thompson, and this is the T.J. Thompson Show. Of course it is. I'm the host. What else would it be called? Thank you for joining us tonight. Got a nice little slate of things I'd like to get to tonight. If it's like almost seemingly every night, I probably won't get to them all, but I'm certainly going to try. And I'm going to start tonight with the one thing that I didn't get to last night, of course. And it is the Egyptian John Stewart, as they're calling him. His name is Bassem Youssef. And he's called the John Stewart of that country. And he spoke to CNN's Christina Amanpour, I believe it was on Monday morning, I believe, but don't hold me to the actual date. And he was interrogated for 5 hours by government authorities in Egypt for doing what? Criticizing the president. Yes, criticizing the president. And it seems kind of strange for that to happen to us in America, because we can criticize all we want and nothing happens other than someone may disagree with us. And I'm going to play you some of this interview from CNN. As I said, the individual's name is Bassem Youssef, the Egyptian John Stewart, as he is called. So take a listen to this, and then we'll talk about it.
Welcome to the program. Thank you for joining me again.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Bassem, you have just undergone 5 hours of interrogation. What was it like? What did they ask you?
Well, because what I present is visual, it's video. These are like episodes. So basically, we were going through the punchlines that were considered by others as an insult to the president or as some sort of being in contempt to the Islamic religion. So we were basically answering question line by line, phrase by phrase, and joke by joke.
And how did they take it? I mean, look, Bassem, the last time I interviewed you was in...
See, and think about that. Could you imagine John Stewart having to sit in front of government officials and explain every joke, explain every line that he said, explain every single thing? Why did you do this? Who wrote this? What's the nature? What's the intent behind this joke? What is this? What is that? Other than saying, dude, it's comedy to every one of them, this guy had to sit and explain every single thing. Could you fathom that? It's almost unheard of, at least for us in this country. Let's hope it stays that way as well.
December, and you said to me on this program that, yes, President Morsi and the powers that be seem to like it all so far, that this is the best time to have a satirical program in Egypt. Are you eating your words, or do you still believe that to be the case?
No, not at all. I mean, first of all, it is the best time to have a political satire show in Egypt because everything is happening around us is surreal. I mean, if you don't make fun of it, you'll just like wither away and die. I mean, that's your only option. President Morsi still like my program. I mean, that was, of course, an assumption. But the problem is that it's not just the problem of President Morsi. It's the problem of the people who are basically behind the power, the Muslim Brotherhood. When I went on with John Stewart on all my interviews, I said, if democracy came, got the Muslim Brotherhood in power, they should have a chance. And I still stand by my words. But the thing is, if they have a chance in a truly democratic elected system after a revolution, they need to shape up and they need to step up. And all what we have seen so far is basically the same old game and the business as usual, persecuting people who with freedom of speech.
Do you think the revolution is going backwards?
Oh, the revolution have gone backwards so long ago. No, I think it's a phase that any revolution should pass by. And basically, the good thing about the revolution that we need to people to show up for their words. They need to step up. And now it is the time for the political Islamic power to actually step up and show us if they're actually truly moderate and they're truly democratic and they believe in democracy.
Well, let me ask you, because, look, they've accused you of not only insulting the president, but also, you know, partaking in public disorder by your satire programs and also...
Could you imagine John Stewart being accused of public disorder? Public disorder for making jokes and satirical segments. Maybe I'm spending a lot of time on this because, let's face it, I make fun of politicians, politics, the president, and everything as well, and I have done on many occasions. And I can't help but be reminded of a conversation. I've mentioned it on the program before, but I think it's especially important now than it was 5 years ago when I had this conversation. It was in 2008. I was talking with a 70-year-old gentleman from Saudi Arabia. He was asking about the presidential elections, what I thought, who I wanted to support, etc., etc., etc. And I was going on and on about what I didn't like about all of them. And he stopped me and he's just like, be glad that you can do this when you go back home. You can do this and nothing happens. And he said, he goes, when I go back home to Riyadh and I criticize the government, I can go to jail. He goes, I can't stand on the street and say what I want. They'll arrest me. He goes, I have to be careful which friends I say things around because they can turn me in. Think about that. These things happen. These things really, really happen. And for us, we can't imagine it. We're like, screw you. We have the freedom of speech, and you're not going to impede or infringe upon that. These people don't fully have what we have. And now this guy's facing government interrogations and charges of public disorder for his freedom of speech. Wow.
Insulting Islam. How worried are you about the seriousness of those charges?
And by the way, and insulting Islam. I'm sure last night on the show I insulted somebody that's religious or I offended them with some of my remarks, I'm sure. But I'm not getting an interrogation session over it. The worst that could happen is that person turn the show off. Look, I know everything I say is not going to, it's not going to sit well with everyone. I get that. I know that. But that's okay. That is okay. I'm okay with that. And that's everyone's right to not want to hear it all. So just imagine if after last night's show, I had government thugs beating on the door, questioning why I did this or why I did that, why I said this or why I said that. Scary thought, especially from this side of the microphone. It's a very, very scary thought because I've said many, many things about many, many politicians and especially the president. Hell, I even have two bumpers leading back in from break where I make fun of Bill Clinton and George Bush. Maybe I should make one about President Obama. Let's see if they come beating in my door then. Probably not.
Is. I'm not worried at all because I'm a Muslim. I'm a practicing Muslim. I always say I'm a proud Egyptian. I'm a proud Muslim. So it's basically it is some sort of an accusation that comes from the time of the Inquisition. So this is modern time Inquisition where they hold people for their words and they use holy reasons to put them in jail. So I'm not worried because I have not done anything to insult my religion, which I'm proud of. And there are some people who want to make it as if it is a fight or a struggle between seculars and Muslims. This is not true. Many people like me who are practicing Muslims, they are moderate, and they don't like the people who represent what they call political Islam. And in Islam is a wonderful religion, it's a great religion, it's a peaceful religion, and there are some other people who claim to be the sole representatives of Islam. They are the ones who are actually giving a bad image, and they're basically insulting the image of Islam. So it's not like an infidels versus Islam war.
What are the specific things that you are alleged to have done? How did you insult the president or Islam according to these charges?
Specifically, I think about insulting the president, there was a couple of punchlines basically commenting on his speeches. Which, as I think it was written, that people felt extremely affected psychologically to see their president being insulted, and that would actually affect our status throughout the world.
Are you in?
That would affect their status throughout the world. Wow. Wow. We've been making fun of presidents since presidents existed in this country. Politicians have been made fun of since the invention of both politics and comedy. And they're thinking that someone satirizing their president on television will weaken their standing around the world. How stupid is this? Seriously, this is silly. And these are the things that a lot of countries are fighting. And so we've got the basics about this, about what's happened. Here is Youssef's appearance on The Daily Show some time back with Jon Stewart, the Egyptian Jon Stewart, with Jon Stewart.
Welcome back. My guest tonight, he is a heart surgeon who also hosts a satirical news program in Egypt called Al Bernamek.
Yeah, by the way, a heart surgeon.
Kazim, إيه رأيك في دائرة قصر النيل؟
And of course, we're going to have no idea what's being said here. Stewart's showing a clip from his show in Egypt.
I can't believe they have their own Michael Steele puppet. All right. Please welcome Bassem Youssef.
And he's come out with a camera to record everything in his way out.
Wow, you've got live audience.
Yes. Now, you don't have an audience.
Yeah, that's why I use puppets.
You use puppets because you don't have an audience.
Now, yes.
Are there any shows in Egypt that have an audience and
no.
They do live studio audience?
No, we are actually trying to do that next year. We're going to be the first Arab satirical political show with live audience, which is huge because we don't actually have this kind of industry.
The television is,
yes.
The live audiences and things like that.
Yes.
How difficult is it to do a show like you're doing, a comedy show, when the stability of the country is still in question? Because it's difficult for me, and we're pretty stable. But I still get the hate with the people, they don't like me.
Yeah.
What happens with you?
But death threats.
Check.
Yeah.
Death threats.
We're not so different, you and I.
sometimes I get beaten. And no, they're just kidding. It's been quite a ride. And what we do we broke ground in the television programming because now people say, wow, he actually says what we want to say. And we're trying to be funny. We fail most of the time, but we try. Check.
Check.
Yes. By the way, can I ask a question? Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Last week, did you have Catherine Zeta-Jones here?
Catherine Zeta-Jones was in your seat, sir.
In this seat.
Your very
wow.
seat.
Wow. Is that an aspirin?
You know what? You take that's it back with you. Take it to Cairo. We don't care.
Ooh.
Nice, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
She's been so okay.
She's very sweet.
Yes.
Yeah. That's nice. You're gonna like TV. You're gonna like it. Here's the thing that is very unusual to me. You are a very accomplished heart surgeon as well before you got into this. Now, obviously, Jews and Muslims, there is tension amongst the cultures at times. 2,000 years. But one thing we probably share is that going to your mother as a heart surgeon and saying, yeah, I think I'm going to be a comedian, would be a problem.
It was a problem until actually she showed that she saw the money. And and she saw my new big TV and living room, so she was okay with that.
So comedy, a little more lucrative than the heart surgery business.
A lot.
I knew I was
smart, and you don't get sued like every 5 seconds.
I think that's probably smart too. How did this all begin? What?
See, and I'll pause here just because so far he's funny. And the comment about Catherine Zeta-Jones and everything, do you think he would have gotten away with that without some backlash in Egypt? The way they are about women? Hard telling. Ooh, and he's lusting about an infidel. How would that have gone over? Hard telling. Not sure. But clearly, this guy's funny. And as John Stewart mentioned, he's a Jew, and this guest, Bassam Youssef, is clearly not. So they're obviously getting along. They're not hating each other on the stage. So it's kind of interesting, and as this guy said, he's breaking new ground. And I'll play a little more of this before I have another John Stewart clip that's going to be epic, maybe?
During the revolution, Tarzan, did you just decide this is the time to try and express this thought? This is the time to do something I've wanted to try for a while?
Well, the 18 days of the revolution was incredible because you would go to Tahrir, you see what's happening, you come back, you open the TV, and it's a totally different world. It's amazing. And you know what? It's happening again now. It's like all these rumors about like aliens coming down and trying that they are the people who are driving the revolution and the Freemasons. Yes,
is it really this type of conspiracy stuff? Because that's we have a gentleman here. Does Glenn Beck have a show in Egypt or no?
It's his evil twin.
Really? And there's a guy who's spreading sort of conspiracy stuff.
He's a little bit kind of cloned everywhere.
Oh, really?
Yes, even in sports programs. Imagine Glenn Beck actually doing a sports show, and that's what you'll get. It's like, that was a foul because some Blu-ray came from the eyes of their...
So basically, it's Freemason and the Americans and Israel have gathered together to hypnotize the Egyptian people to go to Tahrir Square to complain.
Yes.
Okay.
And Hamas.
Oh, really? And them too?
And Iran.
Ah.
All of these people, can you imagine Israel, Hamas, Iran, Israel, and America are actually all like unified.
Working together?
Yes, against Egypt.
Wow, how do they decide what to eat at the meeting? That would be
kosher.
Gotta be kosher. Yeah. So, are the people resentful that the powers that be don't believe that they would have the wherewithal to stand up on their own?
The problem is that like people want to believe. They want to believe, but like when you have the media kind of pounding on them with all these conspiracies, you will find people that will fall for that. I mean, for example, you have what's his name, Kramer, like Mad Money.
Yes, yes, yes.
And people still watch him. I mean, the guy kind of like bankrupted the whole country, and still people watch his show. It's the same.
Well, it's very interesting that the medias in our country that are not that there's sort of an establishment media, and then there's what's going on in the street, and the twain don't really meet.
Yes,
you try and occupy that space in the middle of that.
Yes, because it has been extremely funny and hilarious to watch the media right now. I mean, back in Egypt, it's the same. We're not very much different.
No, I think you look better in a suit, but other than that, I think we're the same.
It's an Armani.
Look at you!
And when he says that, he bows his chest out and starts rubbing.
I had to pay for it. He gets his for free.
Give me 14 years, my friend. It'll come. It'll come. Bassem, I can't tell you. Here's the thing. I watch your program. I had it translated. I don't know a tremendous amount about Egyptian politics because, obviously, as an American, we prefer not to know that much about countries we meddle in.
Yes.
So, but I do know a little something about the humor business. Your show is sharp. You're really good on it. It's smart. It's well executed. I just, I think the world of what you're doing down there. And I couldn't be more pleased that you're here. Can you stick around? We'll throw a little bit more up on the web and have a nice talk.
Yes.
So there you go. There's the interview. So you actually get a little more about this guy. And now, you know, essentially he is very, very similar to Jon Stewart. And now he's being questioned, interrogated, and charged with, you know, public disorder for doing what Jon Stewart does, for being funny, for being funny. That's like if someone decided to throw Jim Carrey in jail for that stupid whatever he did on, was it Funny or Die, with making fun of Charlton Heston. By the way, he did a pretty good Charlton Heston impression, but the rest of it sucked out loud. But no one's wanting to throw him in jail. No one's wanting to charge him with public disorder, even though it caused a little disorder among some people. Think about that. And yes, I'm dwelling on this a little long because it is simply unimaginable to me. Unimaginable. But last night, Jon Stewart said what I hope Bassem Youssef said when he was being interrogated. He said what I hope every viewer of Bassem Youssef's show stands up and says to President Morsi in Egypt.
I want to talk to you about spring. It's finally here. First Robin, the Easter Bunny, delivering to children the unholy tinted spawn of a chicken and its chocolate bar lover. The Mets undefeated in first place, but enough about our spring. Enough about our spring. How goes the Arab Spring? The flourishing of democracy in the Middle East, countries formerly run by dictatorship that the U.S. mostly supported. Hey, just out of curiosity, how are things going today in, I don't know, Egypt?
The economy in Egypt, what a mess. Unemployment at 13%. Inflation's almost doubled since November.
Cairo's aging infrastructure goes untended.
Since the revolution, we've seen tourism drop annually about $4 billion.
The huge spike in sexual assaults against women.
Okay, I'm going to put you down for work in progress. Wow. I got to tell you, it sounds like this new Egyptian president, Mohamed Morsi's got his hands full. I can't wait to see how he tackles these complex and urgent issues.
Egypt's public prosecutor has ordered the arrest of popular television presenter Bassem Youssef.
Oh, good! Who's that guy? I bet he's a terror! What's he been, sabotaging Egypt's infrastructure? Or harassing Egyptian women on the streets? Or unemploying Egyptian people? What's he do?
Bassem Youssef hosts a TV show known for poking fun at the president.
And Stewart has that holy crap look on his face.
Our Bassem Youssef, the comedian who hosts the incredibly popular weekly political satire show, Al Burnham Egg. Now, I know Bassem pretty well, so you can imagine that I was shocked that this whole time I have been consorting with a criminal. What did he do? I'm ready.
The country's top prosecutor issued an arrest warrant charging the comedian with insulting both the president and Islam.
That's illegal?
Exactly.
Seriously, that's illegal in Egypt? Because if insulting the president and Islam were a jailable offense here, Fox News go bye-bye. Yeah, they go bye-bye. But they don't go bye-bye. But you know, I guess the rules on freedom of expression are a little different in Egypt. Obviously, over there, you cannot sow hatred or insult religion. I'm just curious, what would something like insulting religion sound like anyway? Ooh,
Well, that's insulting. All right. I mean, wow. That's
President Morsi was talking about raising their children to hate Jews and Zionists.
He didn't by any chance precede those remarks with, here's the sort of thing you really shouldn't say in Egypt, did he? No? Oh. By the way, if you are gonna nurse your children on Zionist and Jew hatred, you really got to breastfeed. I mean, it's the only way to ensure that your kid gets all the anti-Semitic nutrients that he needs. I mean, I guess in a pinch you could buy Gerber's Elders of Zion formula, but it's a lesser product. Now, you know, that was probably a one-time thing for Morsi. We all lose our heads occasionally and insult religion. Even in Egypt, just once, right? Once?
Obviously, this is subtitled. It says, these Zionists, these warmongers, the descendants of apes and pigs.
Okay, two things. On the descended from apes front, I've got some bad news for you. It turns out it's more common than you might think. And as for the pig thing, come on. You're going to insult the Jews? You can't go with a kosher animal, your goats. So clearly President Morsi knows his way around a good religious insult. Is there anything else Bassem may have done here, perhaps concerning the president himself?
The show mocked him when he was awarded an honorary degree in Pakistan and also took aim at the president's less than fluent English.
Making fun of the president's hats and less than fluent English? That was my
George
entire
W. Bush.
Career for 8 years.
Yes.
Do you have any idea? That's all I did.
We need to wrangle up that John Stewart now. He's making fun of me again.
And I'm sorry, you should hear what we say about the president we supposedly like, Barack. You smoke so much, your lungs are the only authentically black things about you. Kind of reminds me, actually, of his campaign slogan, yes, we can, but should we? You know, that was... What happened to Barry from the block? Have we been fooled by the Baracks that you got? All that power that you didn't like when someone else had it, you decided to keep it. Oh, my God, you're Frodo. You're Frodo! Don't arrest me! I don't get this, man!
You're the... So now we have the breakdown and the comparison. Now comes the meat.
President of Egypt. The inheritor of one of the greatest lands and people in recorded history. Your people invented civilization. The ancient Greeks went to Egypt and were like, what do you got there, geometry and mythology? Are you going to finish those? Could we use those? The Egyptians invented written language and paper, toothpaste, people being buried with their cats. That was you! A style of walking people sing about even today. Egypt built the Great Pyramids. Maybe you could get some of the folks who built those to work on getting you a thicker skin. Well, not the same people. I can't handle two Passovers. I can't handle it. So Bassem Youssef pokes fun of your hat and your lack of promised democratic reforms. What are you worried about? You're the president of Egypt. You have an army. He's got puns and a show. You have tanks and planes. We should know. We still have the receipts. Look. Silencing a comedian doesn't qualify you to be president of Egypt. Just president of NBC. I mean,
talk about a once proud empire.
Whatever problems you have in Egypt, at least you didn't greenlight Smash. Look, when you're... Sorry. A couple of bloggers just went nuts. When you are actually powerful, you don't have to be petty. I know, I'm petty all the time. And the truth is, look, come here. Let me talk to you over here. Come here.
Booby. What are you worried about, Mr. President of Egypt? The power of satire to overthrow the status quo? I've been doing this crap fest for 15 years. Granted, I'm not as popular as Bassem, but we've had our nights. And just so you know, there's been a grand total of zero toppled governments we brought about during that time. We couldn't stop the Iraq War. We tried. I couldn't even get Jim Cramer off the air. Jim Cramer, it's a money show where sound effects give you stock investment advice. But come on. Charging Bassem Youssef with insulting Egypt and Islam? I know Bassem. Bassem is my friend, my brother. There are two things he loves in this world with all his heart, Egypt and Islam. And his family. The three things. There's three. And the, what is that flatbread with the cheese? It's tart. It's like a white. It's not Baba Ghanoush. It's like, there's four things that he loves. My point is, Bassem Youssef loves Egypt so much, he chooses to live there, even though some crazy guy is threatening to arrest him. Oh, right. But by the way, without Bassem and all those journalists and bloggers and brave protesters who took to Tahrir Square to voice dissent, you, President Morsi, would not be in a position to repress them. For someone who spent time in jail yourself. Mm-hmm.
And that is very true. Without people like Bassem Youssef and all of those protesters in Tahrir Square and elsewhere in Egypt, President Morsi wouldn't even be where he is now. He wouldn't be where he is to be able to have the power to repress those very same people who put him in power. Hell of a use of the power given by the people, isn't it?
For someone who spent time in jail yourself under Mubarak, you seem awfully eager to send other people there for the same non-crimes. And just like you, they will only emerge from prison stronger and more determined. So all sending comedians and bloggers to prison accomplishes is lowering the quality of prison yard athletics. Obviously, look, you don't have to take democracy advice from a ape pig man like myself. But perhaps you'll listen to this brave Egyptian revolutionary.
Woman. Whoever criticizes me has the full right to do so. I welcome any criticism. I welcome every opinion. I welcome every view.
Bassem Youssef, Amr Moussa, Mohammed El-Baradei, they don't have to worry about going to jail.
They are Egyptians. They are part of my family from Egypt. There is no way that any harm can befall them because of their opinions or their personal opposition.
Now, that's the kind of open democratic spirit that a great nation like Egypt deserves. Because I'm going to let you in on a little secret. The world is watching. No one wants to see Egypt plunge into darkness. Democracy.
And by the way, those were words from Mohamed Morsi himself.
See, isn't a democracy if it only lasts up until someone makes fun of your hat? Because by the way, that was a We'll be right back.
So there you go. And this is. Long as much as I dwelled on this, John Stewart makes a great point. Suppressing the people who put you in power is pretty scary because you wouldn't be in that position without those very same people. Perhaps our members of Congress should take heed. Perhaps President Obama should take heed. Because things like the NDAA, things like the drone policy, the Patriot Act renewals are, in my view, doing exactly what President Morsi in Egypt is doing, suppressing the people who put them there. And guess what? We, the people, have the power to take them out of that position. We'll be right back.
In-laws and Outlaws Gun Shop at 777 East Main Street in Gas City, Indiana is your one-stop shop for firearms, ammunition, and reloading supplies. Stop in and talk to their friendly staff with years of experience in hunting, the shooting sports, and military-style firearms. They carry a huge selection of modern sporting firearms, handguns, and shotguns with one of the biggest inventories around and very competitive prices. In-Laws and Outlaws Gun Shop buys, sells, trades, and consigns, and they are an authorized Glock dealer. Stop by. They are open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., Give them a ring at 765-573-5877 or like them on Facebook at facebook.com/InLawsOutlawsGunShop. In-Laws and Outlaws Gunshop. America.
Aye, laddies, looking for something new for dinner tonight? The Rusty Dog Irish Pub in Huntington is your perfect choice. The pub features steaks, prime rib, seafood, and Irish favorites like shepherd's pie, bangers and mash, fish and chips, all in a relaxed Irish atmosphere. Voted Huntington's best restaurant and bar in 2012, the Rusty Dog Irish Pub is located at 32 North Jefferson in downtown Huntington. Hours and menus are available on the pub's Facebook page. That's the Rusty Dog Irish Pub.
Join me on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/TheTJThompson and click on like. When you're standing next to me, it's a feeling that you get. Everything you ever had. It's all about me. It's all about the power. And welcome back to the TJ Thompson Show. And my, oh my, oh my, what a wonderful day. I love and often spend a little more time than I should on hypocrisy. On hypocrisy. And I'm not going to be a stranger to that again. As of course, I just spent the last half hour on that coming from Egypt. Now, how about a little bit here at home? And for me, it's Fox News provides a lot of that, I will admit. And this morning on Fox and Friends, there was a little bit of talk about some delicious irony of one of President Obama's initiatives. Take a listen to this nonsense.
Speaking of money, did you know it's National Financial Capability Month?
Yes, we usually exchange gifts.
NFCM for short, if you can't remember all the words. Apparently, it's the president's mission to make sure that everyone knows how to budget responsibly.
Just young people especially.
Well, he wants to teach them how to, help people make sound decisions in the marketplace, like budget responsibly for saving for college, starting a business, or opening a retirement account. The only problem is when you juxtapose that against how much the average amount every household is paying towards the national debt since he took office, which is $53,377 per household, some people might scratch their heads about budgeting responsibly.
Yeah, the irony is delicious when $53,000 per household.
Oh, so delicious.
All across the United States of America, just since he's been president of the United States. The interesting thing is, while he's trying to teach us how to budget responsibly, that is to say, the president and his team actually have not submitted a budget to the Congress as is required. He's 2 months late. So maybe some guys in the West Wing should actually go onto their website to find out how to budget responsibly, because they're trying to teach us how to do it, but they're not doing it.
There are links to how to get the most out of your credit card on this website, and also how to
the credit card.
And also how to manage debt and credit. And sadly, the president's also on the record of saying, I am not going to hurt the budget by overemphasizing cutting down on our deficit, which has now gone up 53% since he went to the White House. So
here's what bothers me is I see nothing wrong with the president doing this. I don't care who the president is. I think it is needed and necessary. Absolutely. Especially budget and financial education for young people. Yes, I am for that completely. But here's the problem that I have. These guys at Fox News are taking this, wadding it up, and hanging it right around the president's neck. Because, oh, all this debt since the president took office, and this, that, and the other. I hate to tell you, people, the budget does not start with the president. Does not start with the president. Never has, never will. Get off of it. Because where it starts, where the responsibility is Congress. Congress. I don't know why I have to say that as many times as I do. I have no idea why. Because it seems that some people are so quick to hang these things on the president. I don't care who the president is. But you want a little proof of why this does not hang squarely around the president's shoulders? How about Article 1, Section 7, Clause 1 of the United States Constitution, which says, quote, all bills for raising revenue shall originate in the House of Representatives, but the Senate may propose or concur with amendments as on other bills. Raising revenue, which means taxes and otherwise, start in the Congress. That's right. It must go through the Congress. Congress. So while we have these people at Fox News, Gretchen Carlson, whoever the other irrelevant guy is, and Steve Doocy, who said it's delicious irony, while they're hanging this on the president's shoulders, Congress is getting a free pass. Congress is getting a free ride. Congress is not getting treated the way they should be treated, which is public shaming, embarrassment, whatever else we can throw at them, anything we can throw at them. Congress deserves it because we have a national debt approaching $17 trillion. We have Social Security liability over $16 trillion. Prescription drug, $21.5 trillion. Medicare, $85.5 trillion. For a combined total with those last three of over $123 trillion. Unfunded liabilities. So why isn't Congress being lambasted in this fashion? And I don't want anyone to go, oh, well, it's those damn Democrats, and President Obama's a Democrat, and he's the leader of the Democrats, so it's his problem. No, it's not. He can encourage and say anything he wants. And guess what? All they have to do in Congress is go, screw you, buddy. We're not listening to you. We're going to do what we want to do. What we need to do, we, as a collective unit of voters, is to eliminate those people who are screwing us, who are giving us the red, white, and blue shaft. And it's pretty much everyone in Congress. I could probably count on maybe one hand the number of people that deserve to stay there. Everyone else, get the hell rid of them. Forget your party affiliation. Forget your ridiculous party allegiances. And how about you start looking at things for black and white, fact and fiction, right and wrong? Fact is, Congress screws up every single time. Fact is, Congress has not given us at least an annual balanced budget in, what, over a decade? Fact is, Congress, both parties have contributed to the astronomical rise in the national debt over the last 13 years. Fact is, Congress refuses to work together to bring common sense solutions for you and I and future generations when it comes to the financial and economic stability of this country. Fact is, Congress, both parties, gave their buddies and financial backers, campaign contributors on Wall Street and in the banks, financial bailouts when they were circling the drain and gave us nothing but a boot in the ass. Fact is, if you're Republican, your party sucks. Fact is, if you're a Democrat, your party sucks. Fact is, you can never rely on the same people who created the problem to fix the problem they created. We've seen how well that's worked out. How about we, we voters try something new because what we're trying clearly isn't working. You want to know how I know it's not working with Republicans? Because they seriously had to put together a document and analyze why they lost in 2012. I could sum that up in a few sentences. Mitt Romney sucked. Paul Ryan sucked. Your strategy sucked. There's your f***ing problem. That's it. Right there. That's all it is. Democrats, why do you suck? Yes, your president won re-election, but he still sucks. Why? Because the healthcare plan sucked. Yes, I read it. Didn't like it. It sucked. Oh, Iraq, still dying. Afghanistan, still dying. Guantanamo, still open. So much for those campaign promises and guarantees. Take it to the bank. Way to go, Mr. President. You still suck. Nancy Pelosi sucks. The Senate Democrats haven't passed a budget in 4 years. Well, let's just say the Senate in general, but the Democrats have had the majority. Doesn't mean they couldn't work together now. So the Senate sucks. Both parties suck. Both parties can not only not budget, but they have shit on our freedoms as well. NDAA drone policies? You have the, you really have members of Congress supporting the drone policy. Do I need to say any more or provide any more examples of how badly Congress sucks? Prove me wrong. If you believe that Congress doesn't suck, send me an email. Prove me wrong at tjthompson.com. I welcome any and all. Hell, tweet me at _tjthompson. I will welcome any discussion you want to bring forward. Any evidence that Congress doesn't suck and everything is to blame on President Obama. I challenge you. I dare you. Because it's not going to happen. You can try all you want, but it'll be fruitless and embarrassing, and you know it. I'm not saying President Obama's a good president. I think he sucks just as bad. But he does not just solo bear all the responsibility for the problems that we face when you have douchebags on Fox News who are trying to make it that way. And not just douchebags on Fox News. You have an infinite number of douchebags on Twitter and in the blogosphere, as they call it, who seem to think President Obama equals all the bad things in America. But Republicans equal all the good things in America. When that's simply not the case, that's a delusional train of thought that you really have to be on some strong drugs to believe is absolutely true. So prove me wrong. I welcome it. I dare you to try.
Need to rent a car, truck, or van? Time to upgrade your vehicle? Zay Leasing and Rentals offers a full line of vehicles to meet all your needs. Whether you're looking to rent a car, truck, or van for that special vacation, or purchase the car of your dreams, Zay Leasing and Rentals in Huntington has just what you need. Give Andy a call at 888-356-1588 or visit them on the web at zayautos.com. Zay Leasing and Rentals, we're here to keep you on the road. If you've ever wondered whether you're breaking the law, you probably are. But don't worry, so are the rest of us.
Don't taste me, bro!
Technically That's Illegal is a book written by a local author that shows you just how easy it is to be on the wrong side of the long arm of the law. Besides doing a general overview of ill-conceived laws across the country, author Ann Satley also read all of Marion, Indiana's municipal codes and found herself, an otherwise law-abiding citizen, to be in violation of several codes.
To the jury, and I will not permit you to do so.
I object.
Read Technically That's Illegal before it's illegal. Go to www.technicallythatsillegal.com for information about how to order the book in paperback, e-reader, or audiobook formats. TechnicallyThat'sIllegal.com, where there are no law-abiding citizens.
Stay connected through social media, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, iTunes. Go to tjthompson.com and get connected. And welcome back. We are in the home stretch of the T.J. Thompson show. And something about idiocy fascinates me. Something about stupid statements just... It tickles me in a way. It really does. Because I don't know why. But here is 58 seconds of what I can only describe as wow.
The border is secure enough right now.
Well, the border is not secure. We don't have secure borders anywhere. The borders are secure from Europe. I mean, the fact is, if you want to come in from Europe... And if you want to become a citizen and you're not here illegally and you go through the paperwork and the filing, you can't get in. And I'm saying, you know, what are we doing in this country? So, you know, the other thing that really bothers me is if you go to Harvard or if you go to Yale or if you go to the Wharton School of Finance and you're the best student in your class, you come from another country. So we educate you. You become a great student. You're a hard worker. The minute you're finished, they throw you out of the country. You can't stay. Mm-hmm. And I say, you know, nobody even talks about those things. Mm-hmm. But it is true. If you come from certain parts of the world and you want to become a great, productive, wonderful citizen of this country, it's virtually impossible. Now, if you're an illegal and you're here, they're trying to find a pathway to citizenship. I can say this. The Republicans better be careful. Yeah.
So there you go. Yes, I have to play that beginning again just because it was a great, great, great line. Listen again.
Is the border secure enough right now?
Well, the border is not secure. We don't have secure borders anywhere. The borders are secure from Europe. I mean, the fact is...
The borders are secure from Europe? Yes, that's Donald Trump on the program I love to love, Fox News, or Fox and Friends, pardon me, on Fox News. The borders are secure from Europe. The borders are secure from Europe. Okay. Let's think about this for just a moment, if we can. Just from a geographical perspective, Mr. Trump, I'm not sure if you own a globe, but take a look at the United States and take a look at Europe. We don't have a border with Europe. We have an ocean between us in Europe. As a matter of fact, the shortest crossing between the United States and Europe is 3,105 miles, or 2,698 nautical miles, or 4,996 kilometers. Huh. And by the way, that's between Boston and A Coruña, which I believe is in Portugal, maybe? Yeah, so we don't have a border with Europe. So to say the borders are secure with our borders are secure with Europe, yeah, that's great, Don, because we don't have a border from Europe. But we do have a border with Mexico and Canada, which are, in fact, joined by land. You can walk across it. There is no 3,000-mile gap. Hell, there's not a 3-foot gap. They butt up right against each other. No gap necessary. So, the borders are not secure anywhere, especially between us and Europe. So, Donald Trump, what the hell are you smoking? Because... We need to get we need to put you in rehab, Donald Trump, because that has got to be one of the absolute dumbest statements I've heard in a really, really long time. But we are out of time. Speaking of, my friends, see you tomorrow. I'm out.
The TJ Thompson Show is a copyrighted broadcast and may not be reused or retransmitted without express written consent. The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily represent those of the broadcasting station or of anyone else. I've been